as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Both Matthew and Luke in their Gospels record Jesus speaking these words to His disciples as He told them about the end times, as the last days, about when He would return as judge. Matthew and Luke in their Gospels share these words with us. Scripture records those words of Jesus for us as a reminder that the account in front of us for our consideration in our sermon this morning is an important one, is a significant one. Jesus connects what happened at the time of Noah to what will happen when time comes to an end. Jesus tells us that we're not dealing with a fable or a fairy tale when we read about what happened to Noah. No matter how many people disagree with that statement, no matter how many people deny what I've just told you, this is what God says. This is the truth about what once happened to our world, a shocking event, an event that has indeed left its marks on the world. You can find evidence of remnants of the flood all around if we simply pay attention to them. More importantly, though, God tells us that this happened. And we believe that it is true. And because it is true, it serves a valuable purpose for us today to consider this account, to look at it closely as we begin the season of Advent today. When we look back at the events in the life of Noah, we use them, those details to remind us of the answer to this weighty, this very important and significant question: what will God do with a wicked world? Now, there's no doubt, and you probably noticed it, and hopefully you did, in our reading from Genesis, the world at the time of Noah was a very wicked one. Genesis chapter 6 begins with just one example of the sorts of sin that marked this period of time. And this particular sin goes on to lead to even more wickedness. See, we're told that even believers, and that's what's meant when Scripture there refers to the sons of God, even believers wavered in their concern and in their consideration for their own spiritual well-being. And so they took unbelieving spouses, based first and foremost, or probably based entirely on physical beauty, rather than considering how this would affect their spiritual lives, without any concern for their spiritual lives. But this is only part of the picture. As God looked at the world of that day, He saw only wickedness. He saw violence in so many ways. And He had His servant Moses later record God's own assessment of what was going on at that time, that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. No wonder wickedness was so pronounced. No wonder nobody was concerned with their standing before God or their relationship with God. What would God do with that wicked world? Well, you know the answer. He would send the flood, He would destroy. And we're going to talk more about that, but before we get to that, let's compare that world at the time of Noah with our world today. Our hearts haven't changed. The hearts of human beings have not changed. The inclinations of the thoughts of people by nature are still only evil and always evil. And so people chase after all sorts of things without any thought about or any concern for their relationship with God, without any spiritual concern whatsoever. And we find examples of this. We find examples of wickedness all around us. Certainly there's still violence today, and we get examples of wickedness beamed right into our homes and into our television sets on the evening news from day to day. And so we find how someone has a gun and shoots someone else, or many others. And we hear about how people make some of the filthiest, dirtiest, trashiest pictures and videos that you could possibly imagine. And how others buy it. And we look at all this and we say, yes, indeed, it is a wicked world. It's a wicked world out there. God's Word reminds us that we can't just be concerned with the out there. We need to take a closer look at the in here. And we have to consider our own hearts. And we have to think about the hearts of our family members and our friends as well. So do you doubt? Do you wonder if it's really true that by nature and from birth we have wicked hearts? If you do, I invite you to pay careful attention. To watch how things happen around you. Watch, for example, children at play. And see how long it takes for a group of children playing, for that playing to devolve into fighting and arguing and cruelty. Do you doubt that you have a wicked heart? Well, pay attention. Pay attention to your thoughts that you think about other people. I know you don't intend to do the things that we just talked about, to shoot and kill and harm in those sorts of ways, but don't you catch yourself with feelings of anger and rage and jealousy? Don't you, when you think about your thoughts, realize how often you've been concerned about anything other than your spiritual well-being? Your standing before God? Yes, this is a wicked world. And you and I are a part of the wickedness that so defines it in so many ways. So what will God do with our wicked world? Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. The pattern has been established. God has shown us how He treats people, how He treats wickedness. What is He going to do? Well, the first thing that God does is He warns. God saw the wickedness in the world of Noah's time, and He selected that one righteous man, Noah, and He shared His plan with Noah. I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. And the warning was sounded. And we know from Scripture that the warning didn't sound to Noah alone. He didn't keep this news to himself. He was a preacher, we're told. He told people what God had shared with him. And he went to work on building a massive boat, the ark, that God directed him to build, for which God gave him the blueprints and the plans. So even if people hadn't heard Noah saying these things, saying God is going to destroy the world, they saw this massive structure being built. This monument of warning. It was unmistakable. Here was a boat being built in the middle of the dry land, announcing that somebody was planning on using it. Someone was planning on needing it. That the deadly end of the world was coming. And then God waited. It took time for this project to be completed. It took time for the animals to gather. And in the meantime, the warning continued to sound out loud and strong. Change! Repent! Take God seriously, and take seriously your relationship with Him. What does God do with the wicked world? He warns, and He waits. You and I today sit inside a monument of God's warning. This towering structure shouts to people outside and inside. Take seriously your relationship with God. This is important. And we sound this alarm as often as we find it in Scripture. Here is what God forbids, and you've done it. Here is what God demands, and you have left it undone. And we speak over and over about a time when God will make an absolute and final judgment concerning all people. A time when this structure will be worthless. When the world will shake as Jesus returns to judge. When He will lay out for everyone to see the record of wickedness that stands against you and stands against me. God is warning, and God is waiting right now. You heard in our second lesson how God was patient with the people at the time of Noah. God is patient. Oh, so patient. He has put up with so much from His creatures, creatures that He formed and He fashioned. But His patience will reach a limit. On that day, Jesus reminds us, we don't know when it is, when it will arrive, but it will arrive. On that day, the waiting will end. God warns, and He waits, and then He wipes out. See, one day, the rain started falling. And the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of heaven were open. And the world, and the animals, and the people, and all their wickedness were buried under water that rose so high that it covered well over the tops of even the highest mountains. God did as He said He would do. So don't mistake God's patience for weakness, for impotence, for an inability to act. How many people, with their very last gasp of air, watched the ark start floating away? God had warned, and He had waited. And now He was wiping out. He was putting an end to a wicked world. We should hear that warning. That warning ought to be familiar to us. On that day for which we've been directed, watch, watch, wait. That day, all of this, everything around us will be destroyed, and wickedness will once and for all be wiped out in the very fires of hell. And this is not a fable. This is not a fairy tale. It will happen just as in the days of Noah. But there in the middle of a wicked world was that one man, Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked faithfully with God. This is what Scripture tells us about it. Now make no mistake. Noah's natural heart was as wicked and as unclean as any. But God had chosen him. God had called him. God had changed him. God had given Noah a new heart, one that cherished and loved what God cherishes and what God loves. One that hated wickedness just as God hates wickedness. God had changed Noah by giving him a promise. A promise that would still take some time to reach its fulfillment. Noah would have to wait. But God was going to act. God was going to act to rescue Noah from all of his sins. God was going to act to rescue a whole world of sinners from all of their sins. God was going to let Christ suffer once for sin, for all those sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. And in him was going to bring people to God. And so in a wicked world, there he was. A man who believed what God said. A man who believed what God promised. A man who would do what God directed him to do. And he spent years building this giant vessel, a vessel of rescue. An ark that would carry him and his family and so many animals safely above all the destruction that was taking place below. And then it would return him again to a renewed world, to a fresh world, as in the days of Noah. God still has chosen people. God still has called people in the midst of a wicked world to be different. To be transformed by His love for them. He's washed away sins in baptism. God has set you and He has set me safely in His ark. In the church of believers. People who have been brought into a relationship with Him and with His Son who died for their sins. Who was wiped out so that they wouldn't have to be. Who was wiped out so that all their wickedness, your sins, would be wiped out. Just as it was with Noah, God will preserve. And God will save. Yes, He will come. He will come in judgment. And He will come to save. Jesus is going to come back. When the time is right. When the time that has been determined arrives. And at that time, He will take everyone who is prepared to meet Him. To live with Him forever. In heavenly glory. In the words of our verse for today, he who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon." And with the whole Christian church, we say, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus."